Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Good morning, sports fans. You are listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We are coming live to you from the Veranda High Point Apartment Complex in beautiful South Denver. I am the one and only JP, and across the desk from me today is our one and only Mr. West Coast himself, Mark Foray. Mark, how are we doing this morning?
You know, it's another beautiful day in the greatest state in the union, and we had a crazy full sports week.
I mean, it was absolutely insane. Yesterday was just ridiculously insane.
Let's jump right into it because
we have
a lot of stuff to cover today.
We do. We have a full docket on our plate today. We're going to start off with the upset of the year so far. The preacher's daughter, Holly Holm, comes into Melbourne, Australia in front of 56,000 people and systematically picked apart the rowdy one, Ronda Rousey. Holly Holm landed 72% of her punches, Rousey 31%. This was just, Ronda Rousey was not prepared for this style of fighting. Holly Holm is a champion boxer and a champion kickboxer.
You know, I couldn't afford to see the fight. I didn't purchase the fight. My pay-per-view excursions in order the last three were the WrestleMania where Ultimate Warrior took down Hulk Hogan, which was still the greatest wrestling match I ever saw, but that was quite a while ago. I don't know, WrestleMania 5, maybe 7. And then after that was Mike Tyson Holyfield, where Mike Tyson bit off the ear of Holyfield.
I think you might have been in my house for the party for that one.
Oh, no, that was in California.
Oh, you're in California.
And then the third or the most recent one I bought was the Pacquiao versus Mayweather fight. So after two consecutive horrible purchases, I just can't bring myself to purchase another. But I have now seen the end of the fight, and if the rest of the fight looked like the last 30 seconds of the fight, then I can imagine what you saw.
Yeah, the whole fight looked that way. It started out, Ronda Rousey has gotten a little chip on her shoulder, a little too cocky for her own good. She got into the ring. They went to touch gloves. She backed away, and Holly Holm was just, she was ready for this fight.
I saw that all over Facebook about the not touching gloves. It's one of those things, it's like not giving the handshake before or after the match of a sporting event. I don't want to say karma come back to get you, but why give your adversary or your opponent of any stripe, of anywhere, why give them that kind of fuel? You know, why disrespect them to piss them off and fire them
up? You know,
up?
The funny thing is you know, in the last fight event, fight against Beth Correa, Ronda had a lot of reason to be cocky in that fight because Beth went after her family. Holly Holm, the preacher's daughter, never said one bad word about Ronda Rousey.
And there you go, right? She gave Ronda Rousey fire by talking, you know, smack about her family. Then Ronda Rousey gave her fire by disrespecting her in the ring. I just think it's just really weird when anybody is so sure of themselves that they're going to disrespect the other party. I mean, think about the Patriots, man. How often do the Patriots talk smack about anybody, even after they whip them?
Absolutely never.
They just say, you want to see what our smack talk is? We'll show you on the field.
Exactly.
We'll show you in the match. And I wonder, you tell me, I mean, because I don't follow MMA nearly closely enough to know. But it almost seemed to me like, I didn't know who Ronda Rousey was until she won the title, you know, that she kind of became like an America's sweetheart kind of thing. And then since then, her popularity has exploded everywhere.
She was a problem. She was an American judo champion in the Olympics. She either won gold or she won bronze in the Olympics.
Excellent.
She's the only American to ever do it.
Really?
So she basically took her judo from the Olympics and said, well, where do I go from here?
Well, how do I make money with it?
Yeah, MMA was a perfect fit. Now, if you look at the tail of the tape here, Holly Holm is 34, Ronda's 28. Holly, it was in spectacular shape. I honestly did not, they really didn't show you any Holly Holm highlights leading up to this fight. All they did is say if she could go a minute and start get Ronda gassed and running around chasing her, she could have a shot to get into another round. Now, when they got to the hoopla, I should say, before this fight went off and the fighters came out, they showed Holly's highlights of her boxing and her kickboxing championships, and I was shocked. I was like, oh, God.
She already had the skills. Well, you know, it makes me think of Brock Lesnar, right? I mean, the whole thing with him was get him to run around for an entire round, and then he's gassed.
Exactly.
And, you know, if once you're slow, once your hands are not up into defensive position, same thing as in boxing, right? I mean, once you lose your feet, once you lose your hands, it's over.
Yep, and I've got the picture here on SportsCenter of that roundhouse left foot kick
right
to the neck, right to
jaw.
The jugular.
Ugh.
I mean, you can see Ronda Rousey getting knocked out cold right there.
You were absolutely right when you told me that she was out on the canvas.
Yeah.
I mean, her eyes were open, but there was nobody home.
Yeah,
you know?
I was lucky enough to actually go out with some friends and actually watch this at a local sports bar that was carrying it live. And in fact, they actually showed this over most of the end of the college football game with Baylor and Oklahoma, and it did not let down. The people were obvious at the start were so behind Ronda, and a sunset, and they saw Holly Holm just pick this girl apart strategically. Everybody flipped, going, "Oh my God!"
That's cool. At least people appreciate the person
people
who
appreciated
was
the fact that this girl is on her game. This girl is a marksman with the gloves and the feet.
Yeah, well, we'll see where Ronda goes from here, and maybe Holly's going to become a star.
She could become a star. You're probably going to see a rematch next July in UFC 200. The big question everybody had on their minds last night is, why did Ronda Rousey want to try to go toe-for-toe with her boxing instead of a grappling? Because she's a grappler, which she did with Beth Correa and knocked her out. It's almost like she wanted to prove she could beat her at her own game. Instead of doing her style.
That's dangerous.
If Rousey gets you on the ground, she's going to snap your arm.
I don't know about the reach advantage. I didn't see that. So
it
maybe
it was only an inch.
Hmm. So she should have been able to get in there.
Yeah, she went in. She tried to get in once. It was at the end of the first round, and the round ended. The last two fights Ronda has fought, she has tried to become a boxer and not a grappler and, you know, a submission artist, which is what she is.
Royce Gracie never changed his style.
That's true. And I think she's just getting to the point where she's getting cocky enough to say, I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to beat you at your game.
Maybe that was what gave her the interest, trying to keep the fire going. Well, I want to beat you this way because I know I can beat you this way. But maybe now that she's lost, maybe she'll bounce back. Maybe she'll jump back to what she does.
I think it's good for the sport because the young girls see that there's not the true king of the world on top. You are beatable at any moment.
Yeah, but kind of. But,
kids are getting into this.
Hulk Hogan WWF and Tyson and, Yankees. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be a person that everybody hates. But there's nothing bad about having a iconic champion.
That's true.
For every generation.
Yeah. She's going to be the iconic generation for the start of the female division of UFC.
Sure.
Regardless.
She's the first person, I think, to really get press other than the one.
She is.
Was it Gina that – I think her name was Gina that was in the – she ended up being in a movie or two. It was American Gladiator. She was.
Yeah. I know you're talking about the names eluding you right now. But Ronda's going to be remembered for that, for the 12-0 start. And she just got caught. She got caught one night in Melbourne. Let's make a song out of it. Let's jump into what's going on in the world of Missouri and some other colleges around the country today.
Well, it looked like Missouri was going to kind of be the big news issue that was going on last week. Now Ronda Rousey kind of took that away, but then of course all the stuff that happened in Parrish yesterday is kind of taking everybody out of their normal game.
It's taking everybody out of everybody's game. We want to send all of our best wishes and thoughts and prayers over to people of Paris, France.
Absolutely, guys. I am 3/4 French myself, and
probably.
I mean obviously I'm born in America, but a lot of my ancestors come from France, and my last name is Foray. And we all know what it's like to experience terror, and it's a horrible thing.
And the death total is the largest on French soil since World War II.
So, I mean,
disgusting.
It really kind of helps put things in perspective, right? I mean, in Missouri, we have a lot going on. There's a lot of anger that was flying around, but it should show you that we really have a luxury of the things that we're able to be most upset about. But not that this isn't important, but that it isn't currently life and death.
Yeah.
So basically what happened in Missouri, I don't know exactly what the string of racial incidents were that were occurred.
I do not either. I've
I do
never
know there
really
was
heard.
Something involving a fecal-mattered swastika and some other rather offensive things. So not just racial in terms of black and white, but racial in terms of, you know, I guess if you say if you were going to call Jewish a race that they were being hit with. And so just a lot of different discriminatory things were happening from what I read. So the anger there that happened was that the Tom Wolf, who was the school president, just basically pushed everything under the rug, didn't care. And so what ended up happening was the football team got a hold of this whole thing, right? And they were just as upset as a lot of the student body was. And so then they said, you know what, we're going to boycott the first game or this next upcoming game against BYU. And it just really quickly, you get to see the power that money really has.
You're right. I mean, it was going to be a $1 million fine if they boycotted that game in Kansas City that they were going to have to pay to BYU. And this sport is driven by money. The college athletics is driven by money. Players don't get paid. They, you know, Northwestern tried to unionize 2 years ago.
It wouldn't that be something if that happened? But you know, it makes you think about you know, whether they're going to be able to try, challenge the antitrust legislation again with the NFL, so that they don't have to wait 2 years to go to the NFL. I think that that rule actually helps players. I think that gets them to a age and a body construct. You know,
I think a freshman and a sophomore coming out, unless you're a beast like Leonard Fournette. I mean,
sure. I mean, there's the odd player like that.
The odd player.
And I think the same thing in NBA, that they should allow it, right? Because, I mean, occasionally there is a player
that
good. But the problem is that you look at a lot of the guys, it's like, wow, you know, this guy ended up having not much of a career, like Kawhi Leonard, right? And it's like, well, maybe if you stayed in school a little bit longer, maybe if you became a bit more of a man mentally and in your preparation and in your approach to life before you were given millions of dollars, you know, some people can handle it, some people can't. I mean, look at LeBron. My goodness, the guy scores a massive contract the day he gets out of college or out of high school, if he wasn't already getting endorsements before that. Mm-hmm. And the guy, I still can't think of a single news story about him ever getting in trouble, right? I mean,
no, you can't find one, I don't
think. It's because he's focused, right? He's focused on success. So anyway, you know, you've got these Missouri players, you know, we see that the threat of a $1 million fine and the threat of the hurt to the football program, which the players were acknowledgingly going to hurt their own prospects.
They were.
Just to make a point, and their point was made. We found out that money most certainly matters more.
Yep.
And now there's kind of a wave of potentially other administrators and other colleges that might be going
there
down.
There is. The dean of Claremont McKenna College, I think it's down in California, got under pressure and resigned her position. So it's showing you a trend that if you're not going to pay attention to what the students are saying, the students now are looking at the fact that they have the right to protest and do it in the manner they want to.
I think, you know, that after the 60s, a lot of things were achieved, and I think everybody kind of got a little lackadaisical, a little bit mellowed on the kind of forcing their will in terms of what the people want or what a group of people want. And, you know, there was nothing violent here. I mean, they did everything the way that you have to do it, right? They did it all peacefully. They said, no, this is what we want, and we're going to hurt you economically. And we're not going to hurt you economically by doing sanctions or other things like that, you know, states do. We're just not going to give you our money, and we're not going to let you earn money. And that seems to have more power than anything else. And I think you also have to factor in that this next upcoming generation, the millennials, I think that they're much more discriminated conscious. They don't like it. They want to focus on achieving the most that they can because they have so much more opportunity to achieve. And I think that's reflected in what's going on here. Another little side note to it that is important is that the coach of that team, Gary Pinkel, has actually had to announce his retirement. Now, everyone thought, oh, man, it came all the way down to the coach, you know. But it's not the case. He had cancer.
Yeah.
He knew about this already.
First stages of lymphoma. Sorry.
Yeah, either way, horrible, right? A horrible disease.
It is. My sister had it twice.
Oh, twice?
Yeah. She's in remission again.
Thank God. And he swears, and from what we can tell, he informed the school in May that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It really had nothing to do. It was just an odd coincidence thing. You know, correlation does not mean causation. They happened together, but they weren't causing each
other. It started to come out socially that he was going to start putting his family ahead of coaching, and he felt the need to go to his players and basically tell them what was going on and make the announcement. I saw the interview yesterday morning on game day about, you know, it started to come out. It was getting leaked. He's like, I had to go to my players right away. And tell them.
Absolutely.
Which was a class act by him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not an easy thing to share
No.
that you have that kind of disease and or any kind of a disease that's debilitating like that or could potentially be life-threatening. And, you know, I don't think many of us can really appreciate the time that probably at any kind of professional level, either college or NFL level coach puts in. I mean, as the head coach of either kind of team, you got to think that your life is completely overtaken by your job at least 7 months out of the year, and then probably only on the back burner for two of them, and then the rest of them probably it's still in the forefront, just not every day, all night.
That is true. So, Mark, you know, when you're feeling down in the morning and you need a little extra boost to get your day started, what do you want to do?
Well, you know what you can do is you can reach for Shakeology. This comes from ekfit.net. Shakeology will replace some of your meals and give you the boost that you need to actually compete in the workout program that you're looking for to achieve the health results you want. If you log on to www.ekfit.net or check them out on Facebook, they can put you in touch with some great programs, including P90X, to get you the physical results you're looking for and give you the nutritional supplements to help you get there.
Yeah, I also want to thank another sponsor of ours, SageMediaLLC.com. Kyle over there will help you get your website set up, design your logo. He designed ours. He'll get your databases structured. He'll do anything it does down to social media.
You know, take a look at either our page on Blog Talk or look at us on Twitter. Take a look at our logo there. He did it. It looks spectacular.
It does. So we want to thank Kyle over at SageMediaLLC.com. When we come back from this quick commercial break, we are going to touch on the complete disarray going on in the Cowboys locker room. You're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We'll be right back after this quick break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
On the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark, we're going to get into the what now is the complete disarray in the Cowboys locker room.
Hardy, you know, that was actually more last week that Greg Hardy was in all this issue, but you know, you remember those pictures got released? I think it was by Deadspin.
Deadspin.
And so they showed all those pictures showing that like the bruising and everything.
The 36 of them.
Oh, there was that many pictures?
Yes.
Wow, I only saw like four of them. They were bad enough. And so, you know, I mean, obviously the guy's kind of a slime ball. He's just, you know, taking, you know, putting his hand on a woman, you know, I mean, what a threat she must be to this, you know, 6'5", you know, athletic beast. But anyway, he's now gone to Twitter, something that, can somebody please tell athletes, there's two things you should probably do. Number one, don't take a picture of your genitalia because it's going to get out. And even if it's impressive, it's not going to help your image. It's not going to get you any endorsements other than possibly from a woman. Now, the other thing that's kind of you should not do is you should not have a Twitter account.
Or you really
should. If you have a Twitter account, you have a professional PR media person that you send your tweet to who then says yes, no, or this is how we're going to change
And you know who can do that? Kyle over at SageMediaLLC.com. He's a master at it.
See, at least that way it can give you the right spin, right, so that you're not just making yourself look like a fool. So, but I'm sure you saw the Twitter posts. I mean, you saw what he said about himself.
He basically said that he was the victim in all this. Now, Mr. Hardy.
Understandable.
Mr. Hardy, I am sorry. I agree with what Skip Bayless said. He's a devout Cowboy fan. He wants this man gone. Greg Hardy, you have a problem. If you cannot understand what you did wrong in this situation, you have something. You have a screw loose somewhere in your head, and I don't even know where your screw loose. You might have multiple screw loose.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't care if she's coming at you with a candlestick. I mean, you are a NFL professional all-star. I mean,
what is he, 6 foot? 6 foot six and
I don't know how big he is. I know he's a lot bigger than me and a hell of a lot stronger, and I still wouldn't hit a woman with a candlestick. I mean, if she had a gun or a knife and your life was in danger, all right, we can make some exceptions, but but this is just ridiculous. And I mean, on his actual Twitter, he said that, what was it? He said he should be innocent until proven guilty. Maybe someone should explain to him that when you're convicted and given sentencing based on your crime, you're not innocent anymore. You've been.
It's right there. Our proof is in the pudding. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's just stupid.
It's the Cowboys front office. I know Jason Garrett. I got to call Jason Garrett out, for him and Dez. And Jerry Jones, they had to sit Greg Hardy down and tell him, you got to change that Twitter posting. You're not going to keep it up.
Yeah, get that all. It's going to start getting work into contracts. You know social media is. It's going to start saying it has to go through our PR department, and it probably should.
This
is just stupid.
I mean,
there's a lot of people out there who will post a lot of, stupid political or sport or other stuff, and especially insulting people back and forth on message boards. And I can tell you from personal experience that you got to not like it. Sometimes you just got to stay away from them because the people just go crazy when they're behind a computer and they know that they never have to back up anything that they're actually saying.
Oh, exactly.
They're going to say all sorts of weird things. And a lot of times they're just out there trying to goad you. They want you to lose it because if you're a professional and you lose it and they can say, oh, I felt threatened, they might be able to actually file a lawsuit against you and take some of your millions of dollars because, you're famous. And famous people get made an example of. But we do know that the Cowboy players, a lot of them are starting to call for him to be taken away, or especially, fans.
Yeah, definitely are.
They were talking to Troy Aikman the other day, and he said that in his opinion, from what he knows of Jerry Jones, Hardy will be there until he stops producing. That's pure and simple.
That's Jerry
only
Jones.
That matters to Jerry Jones.
That's just how Jerry Jones is.
Even with their, two wins this year?
Yeah.
And so the other funny thing that he tweeted also was that there was a lack of knowledge and a lack of information. What information besides these 30-some-odd photographs do you need?
I really don't know. I think it pretty much spoke for itself that you beat this girl up and threw her on a bed of guns.
Well, hey, a picture's worth 1,000 words, so 3,000 or 4,000 words against you there, big boy.
Exactly. Let's get into Dez Bryant.
So the Cowboys had their second issue of the last
tirade of the year.
So, I mean, do you know the backstory on this? Because this is just weird.
It's a weird backstory. John Jikes Taylor writes a story about Dez getting owned by Richard Sherman. Dez lit into Taylor.
And to be fair, he did get owned.
He did. 100%. Now, we all know, he's coming back from a foot of a broken foot. Was it a broken foot? Or
it was something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a severe injury that could have taken him out for an extra 3 weeks.
It was. And Dez didn't take kindly to it. And all of a sudden, something went out on Twitter. Dez saw it, and all heck broke loose in the Cowboys locker room.
Well, that was so weird, was that he, gets in that huge thing with Jean Jacques, and he's all pissed off at him. And then this guy, Robert Klemko, who I don't even know who he is, but apparently he's something to do with sports writing in some fashion.
He covers the Cowboys. Jean Jacques covers the Cowboys. Robert Klemko is, I think, a beat writer in Dallas.
Okay. Well, so like I said, I don't know who he is, but all I know is that he, after he saw the tirade, he shared his own Twitter saying, oh, this, Dez Bryant just lit into Jean Jacques and da-da-da-da-da. And, excuse me, sorry about that. Bryant basically flips out on this, saying, if you're going to report something, report it right.
Well, he started yelling out, who is Robert Klemko? Who is Klemko? He started, and they were doing an interview with Jason Witten before the video of Dez came out. Jason Witten's doing an interview, and you can hear Dez clearly in the background. And Jason just starts looking around, and then he stops talking, and he leaves. And they follow him over, and then you can see Dez, and Witten's walking around. And Dez is just flipping out, and so on and so forth. And it's, you have to look at it going, Dez, if you wanna get paid the big boy bucks, you gotta act mature.
Well, he's so sensitive. I mean,
he's
so thin. It reminds you of Donald Trump, right? It's like you can't take a single like little tiny criticism. You know, it's like,
well, I won't go that far.
Dude, all I've seen is that he flips out over nothing. And
same
thing I see with Dez.
He has a response for everything. We're not going to go into politics, though, here, Ron.
No. I'm just saying that if you have thin skin like that and you react to every comment made to you, you're going to get yourself in hot water. You know, I mean, he's already got himself somewhat established in the league, but you don't want to get traded away from the Cowboys. You know,
no,
why?
You
don't. The Cowboys are paying you a lot of money, and you don't want that contract to get, you know, kicked out, even though I guess the guaranteed portion is already probably halfway paid. He also was saying that Taylor was using racial slurs at him.
Yeah.
They're the same race. So, I mean, not that you can't be racist towards your own race, but I'm just not sure. I mean, does that word really carry the same weight from people of that race than it would from someone of another race?
Well, Stephen A. Smith actually covered this one on First Take, and he was saying that black athletes with black reporters have a little different of a relationship, where they're the African American athlete and the Caucasian reporter have a more back and forth with each other. For some reason, that the two don't mix when it comes to two African Americans. For some reason, in the sports world,
that's interesting. Report. I wonder why that would be.
I don't know, and I wish I had. I don't have the audio of Stephen A. Smith and what he said, but he explained it pretty well.
I'd have to check that out because I'd like to like talk about that a little bit, because that's a really interesting.
It is an
viewpoint.
Interesting viewpoint. He pretty much called Dez out for it.
Well, I mean, how can you not think that Dez was, you know, just kind of ridiculous? And I guess the last thing that happened was also Bryant is also pissed off at. Or got in trouble because he said that Ricardo Lockett, who was a receiver for Seattle, and he got hit and he suffered a neck injury, and he says that's what you get. And, I mean, now that could have been taken out of context.
It could have been.
You know, but why do people just say such stupid things? I guess maybe you just, I don't know, maybe you've just been so popular for so long or so much of your life, but just – some people just need to watch their stupid mouths every once in a while.
Yeah, you really have to watch what you say sometimes. We're going to let this disarray in the Cowboy locker room. Cowboy Nation, I'm sorry, but your team is out of control right now.
You're officially no longer America's team.
You haven't been America's team in 20 years. You They haven't been relevant in 20
years. I'm just saying, they got to stop using that moniker.
They really do. Let's get into what's going on with DraftKings and FanDuel right now.
Yeah, this is interesting because, you know, I always thought that what was going to happen, and this is still what I think might happen, I think that DraftKings is going to either find a way to make FanDuel shut down or sell them their business at a discount. The NFL owners want to now control the gambling associated with football. They are going at some point to try and get legalized Vegas-wise in terms of just straight-up sports gambling, but they also are going to try and get this daily fantasy sports to be only their product, using their product, and that way they can come up with an agreement with the players' union as well. It just will be written into the contract, right? So I still think it's going to happen. I still think they're going to absorb FanDuel at some point. But now there's a bump in the road. We have the Attorney General of New York. His name is Eric, I think it's Schneiderman.
Sounds right.
So he basically wrote a letter to each of them and said, you're done. You're going to stop doing betting in New York. I mean, you can't control the rest of the country, but you can do New York. And he says, look, this is now banned because you are a game of chance. And look, we talked about pinball last week, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that was a game of chance, right? So all I know is that now both of the daily fantasy sports leagues have filed a countersuit against the Attorney General. Their claim is that this is illegal interference by the Attorney General, as well as it's going to cause irreparable harm. And I guess I can understand that, because you could say for an entire week now, if not multiple weeks, they don't just do football, remember. They do baseball, football, basketball, college,
they do everything.
Hockey, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So if you had a whole week of no New York bets, right, because you could say, like, well, maybe New York won't really have the money. Maybe they're going to take the money, say it was illegal money for me to get. So
exactly.
Why should I bet right now? And you take out the whole state of New York, that's a big state.
That's a chunk of that's a lot of money.
And a lot of people who are very sports conscious.
Exactly. We are going to actually go to our next commercial break. We want to thank EKFit.net to supply us with these lovely Shakeology products and SageMediaLLC.com for doing all your web hosting, social media needs, and graphic design. When we come back, we are going to get into today's or Thursday's game and today's NFL matchups. We'll be right back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Mark, I am the one and only JP, and across the desk from me is Mr. West Coast himself, Mark Foray. Let's go into Thursday night's games, the Bills versus Jets, and Rex Ryan's return to the great city of New York.
Yeah, the NFL really just doesn't ever seem to disappoint, you know. First off was the crazy, you know, to get on to the Starbucks outrage, or the outrage of people over the Christmas cup, because apparently that's important. It was interesting to think that, or to see that you had the Jets all in green,
and it was a bright green. It wasn't Jets green. It was like a bright, not even
a little more neonish.
Neon,
you know?
Yeah. And then it was a bright It was a bright red.
And then
sports car red.
But I thought it kind of looked cool. It was almost kind of.
It did look cool.
It looks almost futuristic.
You know, but I never realized that if you're colorblind, that's going to pose a really big problem.
Very much.
I never thought of that.
But then, I mean, if you're colorblind, I mean, it's got to be hard anyway.
Anyway,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless a team's got a very definitive, I guess, emblem on the helmet, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, because otherwise it's just name and numbers. So, if it was Rex Ryan's first comeback, you know, to the New Jersey, New York area. And, you know, Rex Ryan was always known for defense, but the Jets' defense looked like a Rex Ryan defense, right?
Because they really did.
Two picks, fumble recovery, and they stopped him on the fourth and, or it was the Bills defense. I'm sorry, the Rex Ryan's Bills defense. Two interceptions, a fumble recovery, and they stopped the Jets on a fourth down inside the 10, which basically ended the game when this guy Rambo got the pick.
Yeah.
And if you watched that game, I didn't really know that player very well. His name is Bakari Rambo. I know he's been doing well, but I wasn't real familiar with him.
I wasn't familiar with him at all.
I must have heard his name six times that night.
He was all over the field.
You know, it makes you like a Brian Urlacher used to be.
Yeah.
You know, like where every other play was like, oh, and there he's involved in that half tackle there. Oh, there he's involved in that set. Oh, he's involved in that pick. You know, so anyway, he kind of had the characteristics of the Bills of the kind of defense that Rex Ryan likes to play. Carlos Williams. Now he's a fantasy superstar potential in the making, right? I mean,
he is.
You think about Odell Beckham, right? And he started in week like 7 or 8 and scored a touchdown. And I think if it wasn't every game, it was darn close to every game till the end of the season. I know he won me a championship.
Yeah.
And Carlos Williams might be that player. I mean, he has scored a touchdown in every game of his NFL career, which is only this year. And he's missed a few weeks with injury, but he has scored a touchdown in every single game. He is looking to be a very explosive potential player. Now, obviously, LeSean McCoy is not going anywhere.
No.
But, you know, Rex Ryan likes to run the ball.
He does.
He likes to do screen. So
you got a 1-2 punch there.
Yeah, why not just love that 1-2 punch? And we could see, you know, this. Who knows? I mean, the Bills get into the playoffs, they might be able to wreak some havoc.
They really could, you know, and I think the Bills could back into the playoffs. Right now, Oakland's on the cusp. The Bills are on the cusp. The Jets are on the cusp. You could see some real action if you get Rex Ryan into the playoffs with a Shady McCoy in the backfield and Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins had Revis completely beat on the first play of the game and
just
this time his jump.
Well, and that Taylor, I mean, Tyrod Taylor, he looked like the real deal, man. I mean,
I agree with you.
He's missed a few games, right? And they didn't do well in those games. And the games that he played, I think they're 5-2 or 4-1 or something pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But he makes them competitive. And it makes you think of when Russell Wilson was drafted in the second round or third round for Seattle. And in the preseason, you saw him playing. And people were like, well, he looks good. But, you know, they just signed what was that train wreck from Minnesota? The guy who was never any good.
I know you're talking about. The name's going to elude me. Yeah. But he was a disaster.
And I don't even know if he's still in the NFL.
I believe he is not.
He was a backup for him for the couple of years.
Yeah.
But then Russell Wilson took that team, and they didn't make the playoffs that first year, but he took control of that team and on to 2 Super Bowls. And people can say it wasn't all him because, of course, it wasn't. The defense was great. But it just shows you how important a good signal caller is. Also in this game, I think it's important that I don't hear enough about it. So let's give credit to Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. These are both former Bronco receivers.
They are.
I do have a higher opinion of them, of course. But they have had an outstanding year, both of them. And they've made Ryan Fitzpatrick look good, or Ryan Fitzpatrick has made them look good, or maybe it's just a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
Either way, I just don't hear about them a lot. And I think that they're a tandem that matters.
I think you have to give them the credit, and you don't hear about them enough. And I think people need to start talking about them a little bit more because they are a dynamic duo there.
And I mean, the AFC is not that impressive, and I don't think you're going to get 3 teams out of 1 division out of
right.
the East
like
That's
going to be hard.
Wouldn't that be cool, though? I mean, think of we know the Patriots are coming. But if you get the Jets and the Bills in there, I mean, both of these teams have looked like serious contenders in certain games.
They have, and you got to give Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot of credit for going out there. I mean, he had a very injured left thumb.
Yeah, it was non-throwing hand, but
non-throwing hand. You could tell from the first snap. I mean, he was grabbing it. He was in pain. You know, so you got to give Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot of credit, and I give him a lot of credit for even strapping his chin strap on with the beard that guy had. I don't know how he does that.
And, you know, the other thing that's crazy, I don't know if people saw it, but it was on the 2-play, it was like almost like it was 2 back-to-back plays, both passes to Decker. One was over Decker's outside right shoulder as he was going out of bounds, and, I mean, the ball, like, fell into his breadbasket. I mean, it's almost an impossible throw. And then right after that was a throw that only Decker could get, go up and grabbed it and went in for the touchdown. Fitzpatrick is a much better quarterback than he's ever been given credit for.
Yeah.
And we're seeing now when he actually has weapons to use, how much of a difference that makes. And it also makes me now think that I was wrong about Geno Young or Geno Smith. I think he probably was just terrible. But another little note, a little FU from Rex Ryan to the Jets. They signed, I don't know if they say his name, but Ick Enopaki or Kapali. Enopaki, okay. So that's the guy that broke Geno Smith's jaw.
Yep,
and
over $600.
So they signed him and made him a captain for this game. So there's the thing we're talking about, like giving people fuel. But I don't know if it really did work, because I'll bet you most of the Jets players were like, yeah, you got rid of Geno Smith so that we could have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, Mike Greenberg, who was a devout Jets fan, had a huge check blown up saying he was going to basically say, give it to the Jets charity and have somebody present it at the coin toss to Ick Mali. Now, you have to understand, Rex Ryan has done this everywhere he's been. If you're playing a former team or this or that, if you were on that team, you're going to be a captain for the game going up against your former. This is a pattern for him. This wasn't out of the ordinary.
No.
Now, the funny thing was him coming out in a Clemson helmet, one of the pregame press conferences. You have to realize that Rex Ryan's son plays at Clemson.
He's a walk-on wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, he has 2 catches on the year for, I don't know, maybe 20-something
yards. Who cares? You still get the title.
Yeah,
you do. If they win.
But Rex is just the character. And this is something Rex has done all his career. He's always put players out there that, if you're from there, if you're in your hometown, if you're doing this or that, you're going to be the captain for the day.
Yeah, you know what? It's all a head game.
It is.
Belichick shows that every week, so I have no problem there.
Let's move on to the Chiefs and Broncos. We got a big one today here in Denver.
We do.
We're waiting on a snowstorm to hit town.
Yeah, no.
We got a beautiful day here.
I'm sure it's going to snow when I'm flying instead of snowing. Wouldn't it be nice when I'm sitting inside? We've actually got – there's 2 games that are coming up that have the exact same kind of connotation to them. You've got the Broncos who had suffered their first loss.
They did.
They didn't look too good.
They did not.
The running game, again, was non-existent. The same thing is going to be happening with the Packers, basically. Now, the Packers, you could say, well, no, they already lost to the Broncos, and then they went and they lost to the Panthers. Panthers. They almost came back. But still, I mean, come on, that was back-to-back undefeated teams. I mean,
yeah.
Who has to do that,
It's a tough road.
Yeah, it's almost impossible. And if you get knocked down, and they got knocked around pretty bad by the Broncos, and so – I think going into the Panthers was just an unfair fight. So they have to do the same thing the Broncos have to do today, which is they're both playing teams that they should beat. You got the Broncos playing the Chiefs. Now the Chiefs are not a bad team; they're not as bad as people think. The defense has had a lot of injuries, Obviously, the fact that Jamal Charles is no longer there is devastating, and Kelsey is not at 100% anymore. So
no,
I mean, they're going to have a subdued offense, and we already know that Denver is a brutal defense, right? I mean, they're allowing 17.4 points a game. I know people were saying, well, they're not as good as, like the Bears defenses or the Ravens defenses, and they're not quite that good.
It's apples to oranges because you're looking at different styles of football being played in different generations. We go from the year of the running back to the year of the quarterback so many times and this and that. The Broncos are going to be without Aqib Talib today.
Yeah,
for
that's going to hurt.
One game suspension for poking Dwayne Allen in the eye. It's going to hurt him a little bit. I don't think it's going to hurt him that much because it is the Chiefs and they don't have Jamal Charles.
That's so stupid. Look, if you're in the middle of a scrum pile going for a fumble and you want to pinch somebody or give him a purple nurple or you want to poke him in the eye or whatever, or kidney punch, whatever you're doing to get the ball, that's fine. That's part of the game and everybody knows it. But when the play is over and you gouge somebody's—I mean, you gouge somebody's eye. Really, are you a wrestler? Is this a make-believe something? I mean, come on, Talib, show a little bit of class. I mean, that's just
pathetic. Are you suggesting people getting in the bottom of the pile and give them a couple of these there, Mark?
My team, you sure as hell better be. The other thing we got to point out: Manning is very, very close to 2 different records, both that belong to Brett Favre.
Yep.
These are the last two, right? These are the last two for Peyton that he wanted to get. That's why he came back this year. Get these records so he can go out as statistically the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. He's 3 yards short of Brett Favre's record of 17,838.
Yep.
If that doesn't happen in this game, I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb and say the Broncos would lose.
I would agree with on that.
Now, if the Broncos happen to win and Manning starts the game, which he's scheduled to do, he can break the record that Favre has, which is 186 victories. And think about that number real quick, 186. You play 16 games a year. That's a lot of years of wins.
That is a heck of a lot of years.
You know, it's kind of like whenever it was – who was that guy who had the record number of losses in history for baseball? He played for the Rockies last year or 2 years ago.
Good
Jamie
Lord.
Something.
Yeah.
People were like, knocking him, it's the most losses ever. It's like, well, it also means he pitched enough games to get the most losses ever. So, you show that kind of length and, career safety, and, I'd be happy. So, then we jump on to the Packers now. I said, they're playing the Lions. They definitely should win this
they
game.
They should win this game.
Yeah, do you think they get them back on track?
I think they will. The Lions are just looking absolutely dismal. Is Calvin Johnson playing? I know he's questionable.
He's probable.
He's probable now.
Yeah, but he's got the ankle. So I would say they're going to be looking for Golden Tate to do something.
Yeah, Golden Tate might just step up and break back down of his shell here.
He needs to.
did you hear the rumors that are going around the NFL about Calvin Johnson right now?
No.
They're saying he might wind up with the Raiders next year. Imagine
Ooh.
That. Ahmad Crabtree,
wow.
Amari Cooper, and Calvin Johnson
with
Derek Carr.
Who do you put in the slot? Cooper? Who's the fastest?
You put Crabtree in the slot.
I just didn't think Crabtree was that fast.
Doesn't need to be. He'll run your ounce and your ints, your
just
possessions.
Have him do the skinny post. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that would be great for Carr.
That's the rumor that I've been seeing nonstop this week.
The Raiders are my first choice to win the division next year because I think the Broncos are going to have some contract troubles.
I love the Raiders team right now.
And it's going to take them a little
while
to get
the Raiders, with a little luck, could back into this playoff.
Oh, they could definitely make this playoff. I don't think they're there yet,
but they could. They're very, very close.
Well, the other thing is about Rodgers. So Rodgers has been pressured the second most of any quarterback in the NFL this year, 38% of his snaps.
Yep.
Last year, he was second least in pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And does that display the difference? I mean, the Broncos and the Panthers got pressure on him, and it did cause him problems. It caught him off his game a little bit. And we're talking about a guy who can throw, you know, on his back foot and never have problems.
That's true. That is true. So, you know, going to be two interesting games, two games that the Packers and the Broncos should win. We're going to step away for a quick moment break. We want to thank our friends at EKFit.net for all your supplemental and your training needs, and our friends over at SageMediaLLC.com for all your networking, social media needs, website design, and basically just logo design. He'll do everything for you. We'll be right back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark right after this quick commercial break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
On the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am JP, and right across the desk from me is Mr. West Coast Mark. Mark, let's jump into the Cardinals and Seahawks battle coming up.
This is one of those determinant type of games that you get later in the season. This is a huge, huge game for Seattle because they really don't want to lose this one. They lose here, they fall back under 500. They lose a game to the division leader who is starting to pull away. And this was a big game last year. I don't know if you remember it at all.
Oh, it was a huge game.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were kind of in the same position last year, right? I mean, I think you had an undefeated Cardinals team at that point in time.
I believe they were.
And Seattle had not been doing all that well. And then, basically, they destroyed them in that game. And Cardinals kind of went into a tumble, and that's when they lost Carson Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer went down.
You know, and they kind of just went to nothing after that.
Fitzgerald was missing the whole season.
He disappeared.
he was MIA. I mean, they had people looking for him everywhere, and all of a sudden he returned this year. He came out of nowhere.
And you know, it does show you the difference with quarterbacks, right? Because when they have Palmer, then Fitzgerald looks great and Brown looks great. When they have the whoever their backup was, I forget, but that made Michael Floyd look like a good player.
Oh,
you know, made him look like a star. So
yeah.
It just shows you the relationship between the QB and the receiver.
I'm going to give you a really quick stat here. The Seahawks are 9-0 in primetime games under the Pete Carroll era. That's a really incredible stat.
That's outstanding.
It really is. That shows you the kind of team Pete Carroll gets on the field in a primetime game.
So I guess that they're not considering the Super Bowl a primetime game.
Well, you know, when you
or
look,
did you say at home? Maybe you said at home. I don't know.
No, it's just 9-0 in primetime games.
It's not primetime, right? Because it starts at like 4.
It does start at 4, so it's not a 8 o'clock start on the East Coast.
Right. Well, who cares what time it starts on the East Coast? You know, I mean, the East Coast is the least coast. So, you know, the other thing I was going to bring up was Carson Palmer. He's 35 years old, has 110 quarterback rating and 20 touchdowns. Got to be on tap to be comeback player of the year.
Has to be.
MVP.
He's got to stay healthy, though.
He does. I mean, if they lose him, it's over.
We're right around the time last year when he went out.
And when he goes down, it's over.
Yeah.
It's just over. You know, so we do have Cardinals are 12-2 in the last 14 games Palmer started and played in.
Palmer's been playing great for them when he's in there.
He's the difference maker.
He is.
And you think about how long his career's been going on, all those teams in the Bengals that, you know, how Charles Johnson, you know, went from great to just nothing, Ocho Cinco, and then you had also, you know, Hushim Inzada. Just weird. You know, I think Palmer is the big factor in all these equations.
I 100% he has to be, because you have to look. I mean, TJ Hushim Inzada was a fantasy stud to a fantasy dud in a year.
Oh, I mean, he
less
went
than
to
a
nothing,
year.
And then he got dropped, and then he got picked up by somebody else, barely played, and then was out of the league. I mean, it just happens that fast.
I mean, is he playing in Canada right now? I don't even know.
You know what? You lose that step, and it's over.
You really do.
The last thing I wanted to bring up about this game is just that Russell Wilson is 28-3 at home, including the playoffs. So that's a heck of a home field advantage.
Mr. Steady.
he really is. He reminds you of Tim Duncan, doesn't he? Kind of Mr. Fundamental. You know,
he's just fundamentally strong.
Just does all the stuff right. Doesn't make any big errors, and he's not flashy.
He is definitely not flashy. He's a class guy.
So the last game we want to really cover is the Bengals game. Now, this should be a Bengals route. They're
should
playing
be.
The Texans, but we got to bring it up because the Bengals are undefeated.
They are undefeated. They are looking very, very good. Andy Dalton still has that monkey on his back, though. We get to the postseason. We got to see a win.
Yep. I mean, obviously he's answering the calls during the season, but this is the season. This is not the postseason. And the postseason is where he's had his characteristic flaws. You know,
that is true. Let's see here. Let's go into some point spreads. I'm just looking down the list here. There's a couple weird point spreads out there. I mean, I can see 10.5 Green Bay over Detroit, even though Green Bay's been struggling. The one that's interesting to me is Carolina is a 4.5 point favorite at Tennessee. That seems low for me.
I think it matches the kind of style they play. Tennessee is a kind of a hard-nosed, kind of grinding defense, and the Panthers are not a fast-moving offense. They are a pick-up 5 yards at a time offense.
That is true. The other one that I'm in question of is a 7-point favorite New England at the Giants. The Giants are not playing that well, but the Giants are the team that got them from the undefeated streak the last time.
Yeah,
beat him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
with that catch against the helmet.
That's two times in the Super Bowl they've taken them down.
They have. Giants have their number. This game
Eli knows
me.
It, and I guarantee you Brady knows it.
I would stay away from this game if I was.
I would not bet that game. I would not bet the Green Bay game. I would probably bet Detroit because 10.5 points. I mean, I know you're saying is that Green Bay should crush them, and they should.
They should. Well, and Lacy's taking a back seat today.
Yeah, it looks like Starks is going to get the start.
Yep.
And James Jones maybe has his best game finally. Either way, I know you're saying Detroit's terrible. They got one win. They're lucky to get that. They're horrible. They're terrible. But you know what? They're at home, and it's a division game.
It is.
And in the NFC North, more than any other division I've ever seen, the games are always close. I mean, you know, when it comes to the Bears or the Vikings or the Packers or the Lions, it's always close. If I was going to be a betting man, I would probably throw my money on St. Louis at 7.5 against Chicago at home. Seattle's defense is outstanding at home, and they have really started to find some flow with Trayvon Austin and Trey Mason and some other players they got there. The other game I would take is I would take Seattle 3 points at home. I think that they've got Arizona's number, the way that the Giants have the Pats' number, and I think that I think Seattle knows this is kind of a go-home game. So I think that they can pull that one out and cover those three.
I've got two stretches right here on my list. New Orleans gone into Washington. It's New Orleans favorite by 1 point. It's a scary, scary bet when
seems
it's a
odd.
1 point. It
seems
odd. But New Orleans has it going right now. And I see them going into Washington and winning by 10.
I just always remember that Vegas has massive buildings for a reason.
Yeah,
and if they think it's that close of a spread, something's going on.
Probably you want to stay away from it. I'm looking at that game saying it could be New Orleans 24, Washington 10. And the other one I like the Raiders at a 3-point favorite at home against Minnesota. I just like this Raiders team. There's just something about it.
We're going to find out if Minnesota's for real.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think we got two teams that are struggling for an identity. Yes, Minnesota's got a very good record, but that's just how it goes. One thing we do have to bring up is that Andrew Luck is going to be out for a while. He lacerated his kidney.
Now, did we not both say last week that we thought the Colts should have sat him that game against
Denver? Absolutely, because he's got some other injury problems.
There was an injury that they were not disclosing.
But he looked good. He played well.
Well, here's the thing. He did play well, but you know how you get a lacerated kidney? You get
nope.
a broken rib.
So he's probably got a broken rib.
So if he had a cracked rib.
Instead of saving it, yeah.
The way he got hit in the stomach, that'll lacerate your kidney.
Well, and it leads to another point, which is the rumblings are that Nick Saban is going to be going to the Indianapolis.
I haven't heard that. I wanted to research that one just a little bit. Because that one is interesting to see Saban going back. And if Saban wins the national championship this year, that might happen. But
yep.
we'll get into that a little
yep.
bit later. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. I want to thank EKFit.net and SageMediaLLC.com for sponsoring the show. You're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
We are back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Mark, let's talk a little MLB baseball in the offseason here.
Just a quick update for football fans. It looks like Roethlisberger's going to play. I don't know if he's going to start or
well,
not.
Well, that's what Michael Vick – they said Landry is the boots off. Roethlisberger will try to play regardless of anything. They have a bye week next week. They should be able to beat Cleveland without Roethlisberger. He should take the week off.
I don't know what that
sit.
Defense.
Well, you do have a point. I mean, you know, make him active. If you need him, use him. If you don't.
Absolutely.
You got a bye week next week.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just jump into baseball real quick. We're going to try and go through these without too much time. Number one is there's some serious movement going on with the Padres. Obviously, their attempts at making a team last year, they got Upton, they got Kemp, they picked up Kimbrell, they had some Benoit, they had some other players. Those players are starting to be just, you know, let go like a sieve now. So apparently
they
the Padres
are.
realize they can't compete with the Dodgers and the Giants. And, of course, the Giants, it's an even year, so they're probably winning the
World Series. When was the last time Padres even competed with those guys?
The last year Adrian Gonzalez was there, so
which
probably
was,
6 years ago.
I was going to say.
You know, that, they were in first place all the way to the end, and they lost it. And before that was, I think, 98 with Kevin Brown and Caminiti. So
yeah.
they're not a good organization. I mean, they're a fine organization, but they're just not – they don't win. So they sent Kimbrell to the Red Sox. That's a huge pickup for a horrible Red Sox team. They also let go of Benoit, who was their setup man, and he was outstanding. I'm very ticked off the Dodgers didn't get him. Let's see, Braves and Angels swapped their shortstops. Don't really understand this move, except that the Braves are obviously building for tomorrow. So they've given away Simmons, who I think is better than Ibar, but they're also picking up two big-time pitching prospects in the Angels organization. So Braves are building for later, which makes some people wonder, is that going to mean that Freddie Freeman is now going to be moved because he's about the only superstar they have? Staying with the Braves, unfortunately, their former prodigy, Tommy Hansen, who had a great first year and then kind of just kept backsliding.
Yeah, this is a sad story.
Died at 29. They think overdose might be a cause. It has not yet been determined.
It has not yet been determined, but what came over the ticker was that they got called to an overdose victim site is really what happened. So they're going to make the determination with the toxicology report, so on and so forth.
There were some other people there, but apparently they're not being charged. No.
It doesn't look that way. I want to give you a little East Coast Phillies love here. The Phillies made an acquisition. The 2011 AL Rookie of the Year, Jeremy Hellickson, comes to the Phillies for an undisclosed minor leaguer. That's a nice little pickup by
the
Phillies.
He's got the talent. He doesn't harness it very well. So that's the question, is can he do that? Because he definitely has the ability to be great. And we thought last year, actually, not this past season, but the season before, there was a lot of hype about him having a big, you know, bounce back, but it didn't occur. Let's see what else happened. We did have the Dodgers have whittled their list of new managers down. It's now down to Bud Black, Darren Erstad, Gabe Kapler, and Dave Roberts. If you're a baseball fan, you know all four of those guys are former players. They were all decent players. They were all hard-nosed players. You know, the kind of players that they didn't become great because they just had amazing talent. They had to harness what ability they had. And that's
right.
Usually good for a manager.
That is good for a manager. Now, you're a Dodgers fan. Who do you want to see out of those guys?
I don't feel like I know. I mean, Erstad, Kapler, and Roberts are all good bench coaches. I don't know anything about them in terms of being a manager because they haven't done it. Bud Black, we know he's good, but I kind of like the Dodgers' idea if they want to get somebody young and fresh. You know, not young for a manager. What I've heard is Erstad had the best interviews, so Darren Erstad is in the lead right now.
Okay.
You know what? Let's go. I mean, I can't say either way, and I don't know if they'll be good or not, but to me, anything's better than Mattingly.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I was going to have to pick out all those guys, I would have to pick Darren Erstad, too. If it came down to it, I mean, that would be my guy that I'd want in there. So,
and the last thing is, you know, there is a big pitching crop this year.
There really is.
I mean, we've got David Price, we've got Zach Greinke, we've got Johnny Cueto, we've got Jordan Zimmermann. From what I've been hearing, the ideas right now are Zimmermann is probably going to be a Giant. They think that Cueto, he's kind of out. I don't know where he's going. He's kind of all over the place. I think the Yankees personally need to try and get him. I've also heard that he might go to Boston. Now we've got Price. Price is kind of rumored to be going to Chicago to join John Lester and join Theo Epstein and join Joe Madden and try and take the Cubs over the hump. And then Greinke probably will re-sign with the Dodgers because they've got all the money. Do we want to hop over to college now? Do we want to do basketball or do we want to do football?
Let's get the NBA out of the way real quick here. Let's see here. I'm going to start off with my Philadelphia 76ers at 0-10.
They're doing good.
0-10. They are 0-10. I love it. Great first-round draft pick. We've got on everywhere, nowhere to go but up. I don't know, man. I haven't watched the 76ers in a long time.
They just bad draft pick after bad draft pick.
It really is.
Golden State and Cleveland are right away establishing themselves as the class of
Golden
the NBA.
State, 11-0.
I mean, Curry's looking amazing. The Cavaliers are just dismantling people. I think they've won 9 in a row or 8 in a row. I think their last game was New York, and they just kind of rolled them. Now, Golden State looking like the champion that they are. The only game that I could find this season that was closer than 10 points was the game against the Clippers, which they won 112-108. Every other game was a blowout. I mean, or essentially a blowout. I mean, 15 points, 20 points, 25 points or more. You know, the Splash Brothers are making it happen, and they're a champion, and they're playing like it.
Well, Steph Curry is just going off right now. He is literally – his field goal percentage is 53.2% his three-point percentage is 47%, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time.
His free throw percentage is 93%. We're going to round that up. Rebounds, 5.3 a game. Assists, 5.6. His points per game is at 33.3 right now. Stephen A. Smith,
you got to see him as a repeat MVP.
Yeah,
right,
Stephen
now.
A. Smith calls him the best pure shooter in the history of the game, he thinks. And that's coming from Stephen A. and a lot of other players. I mean, think back to the pure shooters. Larry Bird, pure shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A., I mean, Steph Curry can pull up from anywhere, 30, 35. He can back dribble, double dribble, stand on one hand, put up a circus shot.
I can't get over
how
fast he can shoot.
It's ridiculous.
It's like if there's 0.3 on the clock and you pass him the ball, he's going to get it off.
Yeah, he's going to. Let's jump over to a little NHL action right now. We're looking at the NHL on Friday gave Landeskog of the Colorado Avalanche it's a two-game suspension. I think it was a $6,000 fine, which during the suspension, he'll lose $60,000 in pay.
60 grand.
Yeah, that's what he's going to lose for basically elbowing, who'd you call it, Marchand, in the head from Boston at the TD Garden.
And that means something in NHL, because in NHL, the contracts aren't nearly as big as
the
sport.
They're not the NBA contracts you're going to see. The other thing, Patrick Wall, you know, we're going all Avalanche here. Patrick Wall is going out there. They're talking about scoring being down. I don't know how you can say I'm a hockey purist. I think scoring's up way too much. I'm a good 3-1, 2-1 person.
That's what I remember when I was a kid.
I don't like the 5-4 games. They said they're either going with Patrick Wall said the net should be bigger. Now, Patrick Wall saying that is just really coming out of your mouth, Patrick.
He wants everybody else's steps to be worse than his.
Exactly.
I mean, he was fighting Brodeur his whole life.
I think that's where that's coming from. But the other thing is either you make the nets bigger or you make the goalie equipment smaller, because Sebastian Giguere, I think, with the Ducks, when he had those massive pads, I mean, he looked like a brick wall. I mean, there was no place to shoot.
Well, and I remember when I was younger, and I didn't really watch a lot of hockey, but what I was used to was the same thing I was used to in seeing European soccer scores, which is 1-0, 0-0,
right.
2-1, 2-1, 2-0, you know, very close, short game, kind of like pitching matchups, you know, in baseball. And now that doesn't ever seem to apply. It seems like every hockey game is at no. I rarely see zeros up there. It's always like a 5-3, 6-4, 6-2. You know, so a lot of points, a lot of goals being scored. I don't know hockey as well as I know soccer.
Yeah.
I do know in soccer that, you know, if you understand what's going on, you realize why there shouldn't be a lot of goals.
Right.
And that's part of the whole point of the strategy is to take advantage of the lapse by the other team.
Right.
And I feel like hockey was kind of in that same vein, but maybe, I mean, do you think is there also a problem that they eliminated the two line pass? Should they bring that back?
No, I actually like the fact that they eliminated the two line pass, because you had people cherry picking all the time.
Yeah.
And that took that out of the game. I think what you're seeing, honestly, is you're seeing better players being produced out of Canada and in America and the foreign leagues. And you're seeing better equipment in the sticks.
That's what matters, I think.
Because I know the sticks that I use when I played inline hockey, I had carbon fiber, this and that, and I had awesome sticks. And I was over at a player's bench the other day. I'm looking at the sticks, and I'm like, holy good God. I'm looking, and I'm like, give me one of these, and I could do anything.
Well, and you really – that doesn't make a huge difference on things. I don't know if people give enough credit to that, because, like, consider golf. Now, I'm not a great golfer, but I enjoy golfing.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned how to golf basically with a tiny set that I bought from Costco. It was like $212.
Kmart, you know, right here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and then that's how I learned how to play, and I was often frustrated, often got annoyed, a lot of worm burners, a lot of pop-ups, and,
yep.
you know, just and getting ticked off. Then finally, last year, I was like, okay, the time has come. I've played enough golf now. I need to get some good clubs. Actually bought some good, decent clubs, you know, some Adams, and instant difference. Now, I'm not, like you said, I'm not a great golfer.
Right.
But the increase in accuracy and good hits was almost immeasurable. So now if you take someone with outstanding level talent and take them from, you know, just a piece of, you know, just a hunk of metal to an actually well-designed, you know, a piece of equipment, it, you know, that could have, that really could be the huge effect.
It could. I went from a pair of Kmart Dunlaps. I think they were Fuzzy Zeller Dunlaps. Which I broke three heads right off the driver. And then I upgraded to Big Berthas, and oh my God, it made the biggest difference in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, let's just go over. Montreal finally did lose two games. I have to admit they did. They're tied with the Rangers. Well, they're ahead of the Rangers by 2 points. Dallas is still ahead in the Central.
Well,
LA,
seeing Colorado at the bottom of the Central Conference there.
Yeah, they
the
are
division,
at the bottom. 13 points.
Although Duchesne,
they put 6 points.
Five games in a row. I think he scored a goal. And they've won a couple in a row.
They just won 6-1 over somebody on the East Coast.
I don't know if they just want some love for Waugh, because I remember when he was, you know, when the Avalanche were good with Forsberg and everybody, and you know, our city needs to have a team that's competitive. Other than just the Broncos.
Yep, and we'll just want to give a quick mention to L.A. is out there in the West at 20 points. So we have Montreal at 28 in the East, Metropolitan at 26 with the Rangers, 26 with Dallas in the Central, and L.A. at 20 with the least of the all of division leaders right now. We're going to jump into a little college basketball because we did start the season off. Mark, why don't you jump into...
I love college basketball. I actually enjoy it much more than the professional game because I feel like there's actually strategy involved instead of just 100% ISO plays and then kickouts for threes.
Yep.
So first thing we're going to drop on is obviously CU is not looking like a powerhouse, but you know, CU has definitely upped their game over the last, you know, 5 years compared to what they used to be. Hoping to get back into the dance this year, they had a huge chance to beat number seven Iowa State.
The game
was played in Sioux Falls. Do you know why?
I have no idea.
Okay, I don't either. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I don't know.
It might have been just a tournament. It was out of the ordinary.
Yeah, but opening games, just like when they have the NIT and stuff, they just have them in different places. So maybe it's a neutral site. I don't know why, but anyway. George King for CU scored 14 points. Dominique Collier scored 13 for CU. The player Xavier Talton, he missed a three-pointer that would have made the point a one-point game with 15 seconds to go, and then they could have fouled and then gone for a three. So, I mean,
they had a chance.
They had a chance. Not a good chance, but a chance.
Well, they had a chance. I want to go the Gonzaga game, which was played in Okinawa, Japan. Got suspended at halftime.
This is weird.
There's too much humidity on the floor. People were there. Looked like they were on ice skates almost.
How does that happen?
I don't know. Was this an outdoor game?
I couldn't see it. No, I didn't see any pictures, so I don't know either. I only know I read that, and I
saw pictures of people hitting the deck.
I just rolled my eyes, and I saw that. I mean, it's too humid. It's like, well, you can't go grab a towel.
No. They suspended the game, so...
Maybe it was radiation, and they just don't want to talk.
Oh, boy.
You know,
here we
Fukushima
go.
Fukushima was bleeding all over.
Let's look at the top 25. We got Carolina in the top spot. We got Kentucky, Maryland, Kansas, and Duke rounding out the top five. We got a huge night on Tuesday on ESPN. We got number 2 versus number 5, Kentucky versus Duke as the early game. And we got number 4 versus number 13, Kansas versus Michigan State. Now, of course, these are all games in November. They don't have much meaning, but it's always
not in conference yet. Conference is when it matters.
It's always good to see the big boys get out there playing each other early. We all know it comes down to the selection committee and 68 teams now that they put in the tournament.
And I am a big IU fan, and even though they weren't playing a good team, I do want to point out that Tom Crean has now won all 8 of his openers with IU. And, you know, I mean, I'm hopeful that they can put together something this year, that they can be competitive and maybe go for a title this year. Because this is the 40-year anniversary of IU's undefeated season.
That is true.
Which is the last undefeated season in the history of college basketball.
That is right. We're going to be back with our best segment of the whole hour and a half, the NCAA football from yesterday, a full recap of some unbelievable games, some unbelievable performance. We'll be right back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
With JP and Mark, we are now going to get into the college football roundup. We had an exciting day of college football yesterday. We had some records being broken. We had some big games. We had some upsets. Let's go down the top 25 right now. Clemson won by 10 over Syracuse in a very tight game for the number one team in the country. We had Alabama absolutely roll Mississippi State Bulldogs in Mississippi State home stadium. Alabama is now winners of 7 straight games coming into it. The Alabama defense had 9 sacks on the day against Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, I cannot actually get my head around. He holds 36 individual QB records for the Mississippi State University. He was the front runner for the Heisman last year, Heisman hopeful. Dak Prescott, every game I have seen him play in big games has come up so small, it is absolutely unbelievable.
You say some people that come up big when the pressure is high, and some people fold, focus or fold. Some people just get anxious or edgy or make bad decisions. Their minds don't focus, you know, and sometimes you just really zone in when that kind of thing occurs. We did see that Mississippi had a good defense overall, Mississippi State, excuse me.
They have a good defense.
But what happened, and the coach talked about this, was there was a 69-yard, a 60-yard, a 74-yard, and a 65-yard touchdown. You can't allow big plays like that. That just kills you.
You can't, and Alabama's now a Heisman hopeful back in the race because Leonard Fournette has dropping off the senior. He had 19 for 93 against Arkansas and lost. Henry had 22 rushes for 204 yards. And 2 TDs.
I heard Gurley's giving advice to Fournette to go back and play another year before he comes out because
he has to play another year. He's only
I'm sorry. He was saying not go back. I'm sorry. He was
saying Henry?
Don't sit out because I guess he's been talking. Fournette's been talking about sitting out for his injury. And Gurley said don't sit out just to save yourself from getting another injury before
you
go to the NFL.
All right.
You know, because he's like you can bounce back. And then the other thing that was kind of interesting about that game, we talked about this a little bit earlier, is the rumors going around about Saban leaving. You know, he's got a few world titles there. He's now won a national championship with 2 different schools, which is, you know, there's only a few people that have done that.
LSU and Alabama.
And, you know, winning a college title and a pro title is very rare. And you've got, Pete Carroll, you've got Jimmy Johnson. I'm sure maybe there's another one, but those are the two that I can think of. I don't know if Shula did it or not, or I don't know if Bill Walsh did it. I don't think he did.
Switzer from Oklahoma.
Switzer. Okay, so he went with
Oklahoma
and
Dallas.
In Dallas. Okay, yep. So we had a few of them do that. I think Saban wants to join those ranks. And
I'm sure he does.
You know, they're talking that there's been a lot of rumors the last 3 or 4 years about it, and it kind of been, you know, pushed under the rug. But I think you're right about the championship. If he gets the national title, if he brings his team all the way back to another title after he got a couple before, then he can leave, and he can go to a team that has probably the one of the better quarterbacks of the next generation coming out here in Andrew Luck, and he can build a defense. So, you know, the time would seem right for it, Ball. I tell you what, Alabama boosters would just about lose their minds.
Yes, they would. They are that hardcore into college football. Let's jump into the number three school. Ohio State went 28-3 over the Illini.
Close one.
Yes. And the number four team, Notre Dame, 28-7. Notre Dame didn't look that impressive in this one. And with a Stanford loss, their schedule looks a little – and Temple loss. Their schedule looks a little bit weaker, but here's the kicker.
Definitely looks.
They
weaker.
Only lost by 2 points to the number one team in the country, and that's the trump card in everything the committee's going to look at.
Who did Notre Dame lose to?
Clemson.
Oh, it was Clemson. Okay.
Yeah, they lost to Clemson in Clemson in the rain by a 2 point conversion.
And Clemson is definitely the number one. I mean, they're still holding it.
They're the number one because they're number one. Alabama is the best football team in the country right now. Go down there. The big game was, Iowa handled their business against Minnesota. That's a rivalry game. Baylor did not handle their business. I predicted this one. Oklahoma was an underdog for the first time in 22 games, I think. 44-34, Oklahoma comes out in this one. I picked this Bob Stoops to go in there, and I liked what he did. He finally showed the world how to control Baylor's offense. Baylor runs a lot of they run fast break offenses, but they substitute a lot. Now, when you substitute, the defense is allowed to substitute too. So what Bob Stoops did is slow substitute. He had people jogging on and off the field, and the referee has to hold the ball.
Oh, they do?
They have to. They hold the ball. They were holding the ball till 9 seconds on the play clock on a Baylor offense.
So is that a different rule from the NFL? Because, I mean, in the NFL, I mean, all the time you see quarterbacks trying to quick snap a ball before the number 12 or the number the number 12 guy
gets
off the field.
It's a different rule. No, in the NCAA, you have to, if the offense substitutes, you have to let the defense. Now, this is where Oregon never substituted because their players were in such great condition. That's why guys were dropping with cramps and this and that. But if you're going to substitute, and Baylor does it all every down, you got to let the defense up.
Interesting. Do you think there's any chance that the Eagles' problems are that they aren't conditioned enough?
Oh, they're conditioned enough. I think It comes down to the fact that Sam Bradford just was not meant to be their quarterback in my eyes.
No.
We got to go down to the Stanford loss, 38-36. That's a huge one. They could have wrapped up the Pac-12 North. Oklahoma State almost got another scare in Ames, Iowa. They pulling out the Watuski, 35-31, in a game they should have lost. Iowa State had a 24-7 lead at one point in this game. We already talked about LSU losing to Arkansas. Utah down by Arizona State. We got Florida coming out big over, 24-14 over South Carolina. Michigan State, 24-7. They handled their business. Michigan goes to double overtime to beat Indiana. Michigan did not look good, and they are coming to Penn State this Saturday for the whiteout. Well, for the whiteout, the toughest place to play on the planet, the whiteout game in front of 110,000.
Toughest place to play.
Urban Meyer said it. He's. I've never come into an atmosphere. He's like, the only thing I can pair that to was a Saturday night in Baton Rouge. It is the toughest. Imagine 110,000 people in a brightly lit stadium,
really?
Dressed in white. It's a nightmare.
I mean, obviously, a big factor of it is depends on how good your team is that year.
Oh. Last year, Ohio State was number one, and Penn State was horrible. The refs gave them 10 points. Penn State still took them to overtime. They gave Ohio State 10 points in the first half.
They gave Ohio State 10 points?
Yeah. Ohio State kicked the field goal with 0 seconds on the clock from 50 yards and made it, which would have pushed them back 55 yards, and they probably wouldn't have went for it. The clock hit 2 seconds before they kicked the ball.
You got five downs to win the national title.
That's true.
So, you know. Go figure. I do want to bring up CU real quick just because they are our local boys. Nelson Spruce, we talk about him a lot on this show, and the guy just keeps producing. He is now tied the CU record for the most career touchdown catches. He's got 22, so way to go, Nelson.
Yep,
we're proud of you, buddy.
Props.
And let's see. It was actually a crazy close game. I mean, CU was up.
I watched this game, and they played really well.
It was cold, though.
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, if we knew it was Friday night, we should probably would have won it up to that game, but it was cold.
Yeah, I was not expecting a close game at all. I mean,
you don't know, you never know what you're going to get with USC, so.
Yeah, and then, you know, USC's quarterback, Cody Kessler, did throw 3 touchdown passes in the second half.
He looked horrible in the first
half.
Put
his team back on. Let's see. The CU quarterback, Sefo, I have to say his name wrong, is it Liufu? I don't know how to say it.
Sefo Liufu.
Sefo Liufu, that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm terrible with names.
I'm terrible with his name. I'm surprised I just got it right.
Now, unfortunately, he is now done for the next 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
He has a Lisfranc injury. It's just unfortunate. You know,
The kid that came on, the freshman, looked sharp.
He did. He looked great. So it might be worth it. I think the player of the game had to go down to that Delvin Simmons. He did force a fumble. He also blocked a kick. And when you have a game as close as 3 points at home, you know, a blocked kick is huge.
Yep, you're 100%. You're exactly right on that. I want to Michigan State had a little scare yesterday. Connor Cook went down with a shoulder injury. He actually came back in the second half and was held out for precautionary reasons because they play Ohio State next week. They didn't want to take any chances with him, which I agree with. You know, you're going to get your victory there. Christian McCaffrey had another great night last night. I think he went for about $135 and a TD.
And he must be happy.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, he's a local boy. He went to Valor Christian. You know, I think he could run into the Heisman race, but just not this year. He definitely needs to be up there because he's probably leading the league in all purposes. He's a kick returner. He's a running back. He's a receiver. He plays Wildcat quarterback. He does everything on that team. We got to give a huge prop, you know, shout out to the Naval Academy. The midshipman, Keenan Reynolds, who I have now watched play for 3-4 years now, the Navy guy, breaks the all-time rushing touchdown record at 78, but doesn't stop there, finishes with 81. Navy is ranked 20th in the country right now. I am seeing them.
This has been a long time.
It's been a long time.
In fact, I think the only Armed Forces team I remember being ranked in a long time was Air Force.
Air Force was ranked.
Like
Army was ranked. And Navy was ranked about 10 years ago, but they're 25 and dropped down. I believe, in my opinion, the Naval Academy could jump to 15 or 14 in this ranking.
That's
because
impressive.
They have a tough defense. And Keenan Reynolds, if he played for a team like Georgia Tech, he'd be probably the front runner for the Heisman right now. If he played in an offense with a Georgia Tech offense where they run an option.
Exposure matters.
It really does. But he went to the Naval Academy. He wanted to serve his country, get an education there. So he has 2 years in the just like David Robinson did, 2 years coming up.
Do you think that he's got NFL prospects?
I don't think so.
So, I mean, this is probably the best move. You know, this way he'll be an officer when he comes of the academy.
We got to get into Trayvon Boykin, got injured for TCU. That's a huge
terrible
one for him. I don't know if he's going to be back. We already went with Oklahoma State, almost getting lost. Now, here's the big deal. Oklahoma State has 2 games left at home against Baylor and against Oklahoma. I am going to give you my JP lock. They will not go undefeated. They will lose one of those games. If it's not Baylor, it's going to be Bob Stoops in Oklahoma. Is going to go in there with a chip on his shoulder after that Texas loss earlier in the season in the Red River Rivalry and say, up yours, OK State. Here we come.
Well,
Boomer Sooner.
Cowboy fans are Cowboy fans.
They
in
are.
In NFL or in college, they're obnoxious and they're annoying. But I mean, not that Oklahoma State doesn't look like a good team. They do. But, you know, that's the one thing that's so difficult about college football is that there are so many teams and there's so many different matchups.
There are.
You're playing so many different opponents that it's so hard to really gauge, right? Because, I mean, you see this every year in the NFL, the NBA, baseball. You see teams that should just roll other teams, and they just have their number. They can't ever compete with them. And I don't know where that comes from, but it seems to hold true.
It does hold true. Like I said, I'm going to give you my luck. OK State will not go undefeated. They're going to lose. I think they lose to Oklahoma. I think they're going to beat Baylor because that freshman quarterback's good, but I don't think he's that good to go into that kind of environment.
Packers running back Eddie Lacy has been declared inactive for the game.
He has.
Throw
that
money on the Lions.
Take a chance,
boys. Take a chance.
Take a chance on that one if Lacey is inactive for the game. Folks, I want to thank you all for joining us today on the Sports Defense with JP and Mark. I want to also let you know that we should be up on iTunes fairly soon here. I put the submission into iTunes to get on there to be on demand.
Give it an easier podcast for you to download and listen on your exercise routine.
We're still going to be posting all of our normal media outlets through Facebook and Twitter. We're working on the website right now.
And do us a favor, if you are a fan of the show, we'd like to expand our viewership. So if you could like our page on Facebook, possibly if you could retweet our tweets on Twitter, get a few more people listening, share with your friends, let everyone know about the show. We do appreciate the support. And want to wish everybody a wonderful week coming up here.
It's all you have to do is look for us on Facebook and Twitter at The Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. That's going to do it for today, folks. Everybody, have yourself a great, wonderful football Sunday.